Good morning.
Good evening.
No, it's morning because this is Sunday. But you guys who are here right now, live watching this recording, think it's Wednesday night, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, so let me try it again. Good morning.
Good morning.
There you go. Welcome to Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. My name is Pastor Rory Clark. John chapter 16, verse 2 says this: they, God's enemies, will make you, my apostles, outcasts from the synagogue. But an hour even is coming for everyone who kills you to think that he is offering service to God. This is a perfect description of the Apostle Paul. Before his conversion to Christianity, his daily routine involved killing Christians in an attempt to wipe out the first century Christian church. Paul described his own obsession with murder in Philippians chapter 3, verse 6, and he described it this way: as to zeal, I, Paul, was a persecutor of the church. 1 Corinthians 15, 9, he describes it this way: I, Paul, and the least of all the apostles — he was not being self-effacing here — he said, and I am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. So for those early Christians, they had God's peace, yet they experienced tremendous tribulation. It's the same for Christians today. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we Christians have the simultaneous distinction of being in union with Christ while also being in the world. And we live in the kingdom of God's enemy, Satan. John chapter 12, verse 31 says this: now judgment is upon this world, and now the ruler of this world, that's Satan, will be cast out. And what that means is that he will be dethroned at a time in the future. But in John chapter 16, verse 33, the Lord says, these things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, my apostles. And he includes my disciples, all of my technical students, my believers, concerning the things that you'll experience when I'm gone. These things I have spoken to you, so that you remember that in union with me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. I have overcome the world. When our lives are in the predicament of tribulation from being in the world, we stand courageous. Take courage. That's what that verse says. John 16, 33. We take courage. We stand courageous in the face of tribulation, knowing that God allows this to be, and knowing that God allows the pressures from this world to beset us for our benefit. To quote a Leon Russell song, we're up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. Well, welcome to the place where you can get relief from the tribulation of life through the comfort of the Word of God. So let's begin our worship of the Lord in song. The opening song is Count It All Joy.
Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy, the testing of your faith is worthwhile. It can produce in you patience when you're child. When you fall into various trials, count it all joy. Count it all joy. Afflictions are momentary and light. Count it all. Things work for the good when the attitude is right. should count it all joy. With diligence, you should add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Count it all joy. Afflictions are momentary and light. Count it all joy. Things are for the good when the attitude is right. Compared to the eternal weight of glory, nothing measures up in this life. So press on toward the goal that's in sight and count it all joy.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful to you, Heavenly Father, for demonstrating your unconditional love for us by allowing us to encounter tribulation. We thank you for the privilege of studying your absolute truth, the Word of God, which gives us peace in the face of tribulation. Remind us that you work all things together for our good. Remind us that you allow tribulation for our refinement. And help us to embrace tribulation just as surely as we embrace your peace. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, amen. Today's study, tribulation and peace, reflect God's grace. Tribulation and peace, reflect God's grace. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you, my apostles, my disciples, my believers, concerning the things you will experience when I'm gone, so that you remember that in union with me, you have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. What does that mean exactly? It means that you, as a believer in Christ, can expect the victory in every situation. You'll encounter tribulation, which is a mini death in every situation, and then you will have peace. And so when you experience the many deaths of life, the many, M-I-N-I, the many deaths of life, just remember that you're going to have peace at the other end. And remember that tribulation is for your benefit. See, we are comfort freaks. We think that comfortable is the way that everything ought to be. And I don't know what your experience has been. I just celebrated my half birthday, October 13th, so... You know, that's the time if you're buying insurance, you're the next year already. So I'm the next year already to the insurance people, right? And that means that I have, in their mind, I have completed my sixth decade on the planet. And I'll tell you what I've concluded in the six decades on the planet. I've concluded that comfort is your enemy. And we're always begging for that. Oh, let me be comfortable. Can I just be comfortable? Yet it's the tribulation that we experience that really makes a difference in life. You know, in tribulation, I think the perfect analogy, of course, is exercise, right? Because exercise is indeed tribulation. You're putting your body through things. Paul talks about it in the New Testament. He says, I buffet my body. He says physical exercise is of some value, so I buffet my body. What did he mean? The guy did three missionary journeys, and he was walking everywhere. He wasn't getting in his car. and gassing up and driving places. He was walking everywhere with no shoes most of the time. And, I can't wait until we go to Israel. And what I'm going to have you guys do is I'm going to have you take off your shoes and walk on limestone just so you get a little taste of what it's like to walk in that area. It's horrible. It's a horrible experience. And, if you live here in Phoenix, of course, you should know what I'm talking about, because if you don't have Cool Deck in your backyard and you go walking out there, you can get burnt up. So Paul thought it was valuable to buffet his body. Why? Because when we put our body through tribulation like exercise, there's a benefit. The body at first freaks out and then adjusts to it so that the new thing that it has moved to becomes normal. And then all of a sudden, when you're buffeting your body, the body finally says, what do you call this, exercise? This isn't exercise. I've already adjusted to this. So if you look at a lot of the exercise programs, they talk about tricking your body. But why? Because the body adjusts to the tribulation that you're putting it through and becomes a master of it. Well, it's the same thing in the spiritual life. God knows that when you get buffeted with tribulation, you learn to master tribulation. And that's exactly what he wants you to do. These things I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have spoken to you so that you'll remember that in union with me, and all believers in Christ are in union with Christ, you have peace. What is peace? You can do two things. One, you can remember that I have nothing against you, peace. And the other is you can remember that I have a garrison around you so that nothing that happens to you should be disturbing to you. You should never feel guilty. You should never feel worried or anxious for anything. Stop worrying about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. He has taken care of us on all sides. When we talk about residing in the sphere of God's grace, we're talking about the fact that God hasn't got our back. God has got us covered on all sides. And so as you start to go through the things in your life which constitute tribulation for you, and you start to see what it really costs you to get your dreams, and you start to realize that it's effort that you have to put in to get your dreams, you don't worry. You may shed a few tears over it. I remember when I was in high school when I had to kick it up a gear because I went to a new high school. I came home crying every day for 30 days because I had never put in that kind of effort to get A's before. I had never had to put in any effort. And, thank God that I had kids at the school that I went to that told me I didn't even belong at the school. They said, you don't even belong here. You can't compete. And thank God they did that for me, because I'm an athlete, I'm a competitor, and that clicked it for me. It's like, oh, you think I can't compete? Well, I'm going to show you. You know how I showed them? I got a 99 in Latin. The highest grade that you can get at my high school was 99, and I got a 99 in Latin, the hardest course at the school, right? So their little tribulation voice kicked it in for me because I wasn't used to the effort. But after a while, you start getting used to the effort, and then all of a sudden the effort's no longer hard. And then now you learn that you can handle that level of effort, and then the next level of effort is demanded of you. So we have to, as believers in Christ, learn to love tribulation and to realize that we don't grow without tribulation. You know, by the time you see this, I'll be married. I have just gotten kicked into the next level of tribulation, and I'm happy to be going into that level of tribulation. It's going to require more of me than being single required of me, and I'm happy to put up with that. And I'm praying on Wednesday night that when we get married on the weekend, that a hurricane doesn't blow us off into the Pacific Ocean, and that I do get to come back here to you and teach you again about more tribulation. So we're studying about tribulation in the fifth chapter of Romans, and in the first five verses of this passage, that's what we've been talking about. Tribulation, on the one hand, peace on the other hand. So God gives us those two things simultaneously. You're in union with Christ, but you're in the world. You have tribulation, but I give you peace. You feel like you're being defeated, but I give you the victory. It's a beautiful thing that he's given us, and we've got to learn to embrace the tribulation that we experience. So we continue our study of Romans chapter 5, and in the first five verses, we've been looking at two subjects, the peace of God and tribulation. We believers in Christ have peace with God. Since the cross, God has nothing against us. The cross broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. And so now we can have a relationship with God. So we believers in Christ have access to the peace of God because we have peace with God. And this peace of God is a peace which surpasses all comprehension. And we believers in Christ have tribulation. So let's take a look at Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 and moving through verse 5. Here's what it says. It says, therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, at the moment you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have righteousness and you are declared righteous throughout the halls of heaven by God the Father, and he keeps on declaring you righteous, and that's called justification. So therefore, having been justified on the principle of faith in the past, we believers in Christ now and forevermore, can't lose it, keep on having peace with God the Father through our union with the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nothing that has ever happened to you in your life that is more important than the fact that at the moment you believed in Jesus Christ, you were placed into union with Christ. You are one with him forever and ever. And no matter where he goes, you go with him, and you can never be out of his grasp. And that is a significant thing that you should always call on every day to remember that he's going to take care of you. Romans chapter 5, verse 2, and through our union with Christ, we believers in Christ have also obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father, who placed us into the sphere of grace, that geodesic dome of grace. At the moment of salvation, he placed a dome around you, and he surrounded you on all sides with his peace. He surrounded you on all sides with his grace. He surrounded you on all sides with his unconditional love. He surrounded you on all sides with his righteousness. He surrounded you on all sides with all kinds of titles, saint, holy, blameless, surrounding you with privilege that would stagger the imagination if you just held it in your mind all at one time, how much he loves you, cares for you, and has provided everything for you. So through our union with Christ, also we have obtained our direct access to a person of privileged rank, God the Father. Christ says, it's not just me, it's my Father, it's the Spirit, it's my physical manifestation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all for you. Who placed us into the sphere of grace, a sphere in which we presently stand. So we have a past, we have a present, and through our union with Christ, we keep on exulting. We keep on being happy. We keep on throwing our hands in the air in hope, in the absolute confidence of the glory of God in the future. And that's what hope means. It means absolute confidence. It's not, I hope so. It's, I have hope. I know exactly what my God's going to do for me because he said so. Romans 5, 3, and we not only exult in these things, our past, righteousness and justification, our present, peace, our future, glory, but we also keep on being exalted by God the Father in our tribulations. We should be ecstatic about our tribulations, exulting in our tribulations, thanking God for our tribulations. Thank God. Thank you for making me put in the effort. Thank you for making me extend myself. Thank you for making me tired. Thank you for making me work. Thank you for making me go after things. Because in our tribulations that are given to us by God the Father, we know that tribulation brings about perseverance. When you learn how to work, you can stick it out. When you learn how to work, you can stick it out. I remember my sister was mad at me one time, and she said, you know what? You have it so easy. Mom loved you better than she loved everybody else, and you have it so easy. I said, really? Really? Is that it? Oh, I just get it handed to me, huh? Well, were you with me the night before when I was in the second quarter at Northwestern, where I knew I had two C's and an F, and I had a real close to an F in political science. Were you there that night when I stayed up all night, putting one foot in front of the other before I ever drank coffee, putting one foot in front of the other so I could just eke out a D and get one more quarter at Northwestern? Were you there? There's nothing lucky about it. It was work. It was tribulation. It was work. And I managed to get that D, and then I changed to another major and took off. It was darkest before the light. And it wasn't even easy, because when I transferred into the new school, the dean of the school was black. And he said, "I know what you're doing." When I went in to transfer into the school, he said, "I know what you're doing. You think it's easier over here. It's not easier over here." And as a matter of fact, we have increased the amount that you have to get to stay in the school. And if you don't get that this quarter, we're kicking you out. See, what is it? Tribulation. Tribulation, tribulation, tribulation. Think about your life. Think about all the things you've gone through. All the things you consider failures. Think of all the marriages you've gone through, if you've gone through a lot of marriages. Think of all the relatives that have turned on you. Think about all the things that have happened to you. Tribulation. And what has been the result? You take a licking and keep on ticking. You may as well call yourself Timex. Amen? You take a licking and keep on ticking. And that's what we're supposed to do as Christians. Take a licking and keep on ticking. That's right. What time is it on the Creator clock? Romans chapter 5, verse 4. And perseverance. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance brings about proven character. Proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint. The biblical hope never disappoints. Why? Because the unconditional love of God the Father, in which we are in a sphere, has been poured out within our hearts through God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us by God the Father. So what does that say? It says when you encounter tribulation, you have a storage place to go to deal with the tribulation. Because a lot of the tribulation that you'll experience will come through people. And where you have to go is into your heart and pull out that store of unconditional love that has been poured into your heart by God the Holy Spirit, and to look at those people who are mistreating you and say, "You know what? Forgiving you was the easy part. I did not expect one thing from you. I do not expect anything from you. You have the right to live your life the way you want. If you don't like me, okay, that's fine. I get it. And I don't have to expect one thing from you. Unconditional, no conditions." And it's poured right out in our heart. We didn't come with that package. God gave us that package, and God is amazing. So as believers in Christ, we must never consider tribulation to be unusual. Instead, we consider it to be part of the graciousness of a righteous, just, and loving God who wants the best for us at all times. And if he gives us tribulation, we must conclude one thing. It is the best for us, because everything he does is perfect. Everything he gives us is perfect. Every situation he puts us into is perfect. We have to conclude that the best for us does not always include our comfort. The best for us does not always include our comfort. More often, it involves the presence of tribulation. There is no more perfect person to encourage us than one who is all too aware of his own imperfection. The Apostle Peter, the self-righteous one, who after vowing that there is no way that he would ever deny his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, fulfilled the Lord's prediction that he would indeed deny even knowing the Lord. A quick look at the Lord's prediction in Luke chapter 22, verses 31 to 34. Here's what the Lord Jesus Christ says to Peter. He says, "Simon Peter, Simon Peter." And Peter was also called Cephas, the rock, the little rock. "Simon Peter, Simon Peter, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you apostles like wheat." I don't know, you know, we got some country people in here. I imagine y'all have seen wheat sifted, huh? Amen? It's ugly, you know. And now the city boy is going to explain this, right? Here's how it goes. You just put it in there and it gets crushed up, right? Is that how it goes? You don't know. So, yeah, sort of like that, right? No, but Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like wheat. What does that mean? He's going to hurt you. Luke 22:33. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have prayed for you specifically, Peter, that your faith may not fail during that time when you get sifted like wheat, tribulation, and that you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. See, that's God. I love that about him. He says, okay, here's what's going to happen. You're going to get your butt kicked. You're going to completely fail at that thing that you want to have happen. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you go talk to other people about it and tell them the level of work that it takes to get what they want. See, isn't that great? And, of course, Peter, who didn't know himself very well, says to the Lord, Lord, with you, I am ready to go both to prison and to death. Which, you know, the proof is don't ever vow anything. Don't make vows. Because here's what the Lord said. The omniscient Lord who knows all the knowable said, you know, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. Peter could comfort himself with the Lord's words as he sat in the middle of the floor beating himself up with a rubber hose, weeping, sobbing at his betrayal of the Lord. Because Peter genuinely loved the Lord, but Peter was weak. Peter could reflect and know that he was not as strong as he thought. Peter could realize that in the flesh he failed. He failed himself. And more importantly, he failed the Lord. But the Lord would use the pressure of the tribulation within the sphere of grace so that Peter could strengthen his brothers. And that's what happens. You fall flat on your face and you could go tell other people, look, don't do what I did. We got a situation in the news right now. Jameis Winston, the Heisman Trophy winner, just keeps getting himself in trouble. You know, he's a sophomore. He won the trophy as a freshman, and now he's a sophomore. And he just keeps getting himself in trouble over and over and over. And all the Heisman winners are going to him and saying, Jameis, look, here's what you have to do. And he's just looking at him like, yeah, whatever. Whatever. I know what I'm doing. I'm a Heisman Trophy winner. I know what I'm doing. Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel doing the same thing. He's a Heisman Trophy winner the next year. What does he do? Oh, I hung the moon suddenly. And these guys are in the news, right? And what's going to happen? He who exalts himself will be humbled. They'll be humbled because it always happens that way. Why are they going to be humbled? Because they didn't want to listen to people who are down the road who have fallen on their face over and over and over again. Peter knew what vowing was all about. Peter knew what promising that you what you were going to do and trying to be in the flesh strength. He knew what that was going to do. And now he gets a chance to go tell people, all you people who think you're strong, you're not. All you people who think that it's going to work out for you when it didn't work out for me, it's not. I love that. And the Lord always uses the pressure of tribulation so that we can learn from it and then we can turn around and strengthen others. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Let's get some more wisdom from Peter, who will be the guy I will be hanging out with in heaven. So if you want to meet him, you just come talk to me when I get up there, because he and I will be best buds, because we are peas in a pod. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Here is Peter's compassionate and understanding prayer of encouragement in the face of tribulation that is designed to strengthen his brothers. And that includes the brothers of the first century and the brothers like you and me. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us believers in Christ to be born again. That's the spiritual birth. We move from spiritual death to spiritual birth. Born again to a living hope. What is that? An absolute and living confidence through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We're in union with Christ. He was resurrected from the dead. Everything he gets, we get, will be resurrected from the dead too. And that gives us a living hope, an absolute confidence of a very excellent future. 1 Peter 1:4, to ensure that we, believers in Christ, obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for all of you believers in Christ. Can you lose your salvation?
Nope.
No, you cannot. Why? Because it was done for you by a God who never changes. Once God saved you, even he can't change it. Immutable. So you have an inheritance, which is imperishable, undefiled, will not fade away, reserved in heaven for all you believers in Christ. What does it mean when something is imperishable? It means it's everlasting. It means it cannot be destroyed. It means it is not like a banana, which is subject to decay. Imperishable means indestructible. And because you have chosen to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. And your salvation cannot be destroyed by any means. It is protected by the omnipotence, all the power of God. It is protected by the word of God. God gives you his word that it will never go away. It is protected by the person of the Godhead. And I was thinking on the way over, on the drive over, there is nothing better than being on God's side. And there is nothing worse than not being on his side. So don't let anyone ever put doubt into your head about your so great salvation, which you cannot lose. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you believers in Christ who are protected. That means shielded by a garrison. What does that mean? Your salvation has a fort around it. And at all four posts of the fort are members of the Trinity. You've got the physical manifestation of the Trinity, the Lord, 100% God, Jesus Christ, 100% man. You've got God the Father, you've got God the Son, you've got God the Holy Spirit on the four posts of that fort, garrisoning you. And so nobody's going to break in and steal your salvation. You believers in Christ who are protected, shielded by a garrison, by the omnipotence of God, through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's always, you know of your salvation through God's word, but you also have the absolute confidence that in the future, you will not only know of your salvation, but you will see the salvation of the Lord and you will experience the salvation of the Lord that has already been provided for you in eternity past. And it's always a pleasure to remind you that your salvation is not something that you are worthy of. Not something that you can work for, not something that you can earn. It is a free gift of a gracious God and Father who provided it on the basis of the amazing work of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which was performed at the cross on your behalf. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6, in all of this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you've been distressed by trials, don't worry about it. What are you to do as a Christian now that you know how secure your salvation is? What are you to do as a Christian now that you know God is on your side? What you're to do is to act. And what is the act? You greatly rejoice. You count it all joy. In all of this, 1 Peter 1, 6, in all of this you greatly rejoice. That's the action. Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. You count it all joy. That's why we had June sing that song, because you've heard that song recently, but you never get enough of that song. Count it all joy. Well, for you who watch the news, every time the kingdom of darkness scares you, every time the kingdom of darkness makes you think you need to be scared about something, you know, we're starting to get real scared about Ebola. Oh, one person dies now, two, then four, then eight, then 16, then 32. It just keeps multiplying. Oh, my God, next thing you know, it's going to be in my neighborhood in Gilbert, Arizona. I'm not scared. Just as Deacon Denny Goodall illuminated for us in last week's offering message, all our concerns about where the world and where it is going, right after we get scared, we reject the fear with faith. Amen. We reject the fear with faith. Here's what John reminds us of in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. He says, for whatever is born again of God the Father overcomes the world. Who's born again of God the Father? All believers in Christ. You. So whatever is born again of God the Father overcomes the world. You're going to overcome Ebola. You're going to overcome the black guy in the Bed Bath & Beyond parking lot who's trying to carjack you. You're going to overcome. Because why? We are overcomers. And this is the victory. 1 John 5:4, second part. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. So when we fear, what do? Faith. See, you're not going to get rid of fear. You're not going to get rid of fear. So don't even bother trying. But here's the thing. There's real fear and there's psychic fear. Stuff that you're just making up in your head. Here's real fear. Real fear is you're pulling money out of your ATM and somebody comes up behind you with a gun, puts the gun to your head and says, empty the whole account. And you turn around and say, I'm sorry, man, I set this up so only $200 a day can come out. Right? Then he shoots you in the head. See, that feeling you had just before you got shot in the head? That's fear. That's real. You should have that. Right? But then there's the fear that you have on the basketball court when somebody comes running at your jump shot. That's not, and you get scared. That's not real fear. That's not real fear. That's manufactured fear. Because what's going to happen? You're going to disintegrate? No. Nothing's going to happen. Oh, man, I didn't have enough distance. Wow. Big deal. So we've got to distinguish between real fear and psychic fear, because fear is valuable and you're not going to get rid of it. But when that psychic fear is being encouraged by the kingdom of darkness, faith. So what does that look like? See, it's always fun to reject the kingdom of darkness by expressing our confidence in God and his word. And it makes Satan go away. Every minute you spend in Bible study allows you to form contradictions in your soul. You can say to the kingdom of darkness, wait a minute, you keep telling me that I'm going to get Ebola. You keep telling me that because I have too much water on my property, because it's been raining like crazy here in Phoenix, and now there's a mosquito pool, that all those mosquitoes have valley fever. And they're going to come in my house and they're going to bite me and then I have valley fever. Get out of here. Get out of here. That's the fear that's being instilled in us by the news. And you just say, you have contradictions in your soul. You say, wait a minute. My God says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So I guess if I get valley fever, he intended for me to have it and he's going to work it out. So I'm not going to spend 5 minutes of my time worrying about it. As a matter of fact, they might give me some of those good drugs that make me sleep, and then I get a good night's sleep or something. Amen? All right, so we're not worried about anything. So when you study the Bible, it forms contradictions in your soul, and you can say to the kingdom of darkness, you say one thing, but my God and his word say something else, and I believe my God. And that's faith. And then you can say, nana, nana, boo, boo. Don't bother me with your fear. Take a 5-minute break.
That's where I am strong, in your presence. Oh Lord, my God, in your presence.
Welcome back. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us believers in Christ to be born again, the spiritual birth, to a living hope and absolute confidence through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to ensure that we obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for all of you believers in Christ." Isn't that amazing to know that you have a mansion in heaven with your name on it, reserved for you, waiting for you to come there? 1 Peter 1:5, "You believers in Christ, who are protected, shielded by a garrison, by the power of God, nothing better than that, divine omnipotence, through faith, for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. "In all of this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Christ Jesus." See, gold, which is one of the most wonderful and precious metals, when it is being refined, is put into the fire, just like you are placed by God in the fire of tribulation. And what happens to gold when it's placed in the fire is there is a substance on the surface of the gold called dross. Dross, D-R-O-S-S, and it is removed. And what dross is a waste matter. Likewise, tribulation in your life takes away all the waste matter of your spiritual life and leaves nothing but the good part. You know, when we believers in Christ go to the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a fire, right? There's going to be a burning up of wood, hay, and stubble, all the dross, all the stuff that is not the real stuff, because none of that real stuff is getting into heaven. And what's going to be in heaven is that which is pure. All the things that we've done where we have walked in the steps that God the Father has laid out for us, those are the things that will remain, the good of intrinsic value. And no waste matter in heaven whatsoever. The things of intrinsic value that enable a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with your God, when we are refined by the fire of tribulation, it makes it clear to us in whom we have faith. You see, when you are burned by the tribulations of this life, it makes it clear to you in whom you have faith. When Peter got burned by his self-righteousness, who did he turn to? He had nowhere else to turn but to Christ. And that's what he did. He had the option of turning to himself and feeling sorry for himself because it was so hard. And putting his thumb in his mouth, he had that option, but he didn't do it. He turned to Christ and he said, "Okay, I get it. I get it. You told me that I wasn't strong enough to do this on my own. You're right. Do it for me. And God will do it." So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so, tribulation is always a cause for joy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, "And though you believers in Christ have not seen Jesus Christ like I, Peter, did, you love him. And although you don't see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." Peter was one of the guys who went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and who was allowed to see the Lord Jesus Christ as he would look at the second coming. And it blew Peter away, and he got up, and he wanted to do something. You know, "I'm going to make a tabernacle for everybody, man. This is great. Oh, my God." And God the Father said, "Shut up. This is my son. Listen to him." And when Peter came down from that experience, he said, "Hey, I've seen the Lord as he's going to look at the second coming, and I will tell you, his word is more real to me than that." So there's a message for us as believers. The word is more real than if we saw it. And that's Peter. Your faith is stronger than empiricism. We believers don't have to see the Lord to believe in the Lord. We believers don't have to see the Lord to have a relationship with the Lord. Remember what the Lord said to one of his apostles who was doubting the reality of his resurrection from the dead? John chapter 20, verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you've seen me, you believed?" Empiricism. That's empiricism. SAT word. If I can't see it, smell it, touch it, taste it, hear it, it does not exist. We are not empiricists. Blessed are they who did not see, Thomas, and yet believed with faith. Not rationalism. Not Descartes. I think, therefore I am. Not empiricism. If I don't see it or feel it, it doesn't exist. Faith. Faith. No merit in faith. We place our confidence in the object of our faith. So we can believe the words of June's opening song. The testing of your faith is worthwhile. Because we have God's peace and we have God's tribulation. And they say, and they are both magnificent parts of God's grace. How did you react when, how do you react when you face trials and tribulations? Do you faint in your soul? Do you give up? Or do you turn to God and the Bible? See, trials are something that we all will face as Christians, and we learn to get through them by keeping the faith and by praying. It is easier said than done, though, that's for sure. We can say that we just need to pray to find our way through the trials, yet prayer isn't the only solution. Think of every awful thing that has happened to you in your life. And I really want you to bring some of those things to mind right now. Think about all those things that you have defined as awful in your life. Every single instance that was painful. And maybe you're still not over it. What can make a difference is praying to God for wisdom in tribulation, praying to God for healing in times of suffering, and praying to God for unconditional love to pass on to those who hurt you. And we know he gives that to us because he pours it into our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us as a pledge. So no matter what your hardships are, remember, God loves you. How do you know? Because he gave up his only son for you. So pray for grace, pray for strength. Each one of us can make it through each one of our trials. And see, when you pray for grace, you're not praying to have it. You're praying so that you can open your eyes and see it in everything around you. When you pray for strength, you're not praying for strength because you don't have it. You're praying for strength because you forgot what the source of your strength is. The source of your strength is not you. Each one of us can make it through each one of our trials. So more than prayer, we need to realize that our strength in times of tribulation comes from the omnipotence of a sovereign God who is on our side and who is leading us through every trial and every tribulation. See, our strength does not come from the flesh. Our strength does not come from the world. I can remember the first time that I scored 30 points in a basketball game. I can remember that. See, you guys look at me and you don't know. You don't even know the athlete that's in here. There's a tiger in here. You don't even know. But, and it was just, what'd you say? it was in an intramural basketball game in the playoffs, and so we had played this team during the regular season, and they had beaten us by 24 points. They had slaughtered us because we just weren't as good as them. And that's as simple as that. So all week on campus, every time I'd see one of the guys on the other team, they'd give me, "Hey, man, what's going on? Yeah, we play you this week." And you know what that means. We're going to slaughter you. We're not even thinking about you. We're going to kill you. And I can remember sitting down in my room in the dark. I turned off all the lights, and I prayed. And I said, "Lord, let my team be the best that we've ever been tonight, just once, this night. And let me be the best that I've ever been just once, just this night." And I couldn't miss. I was shooting stuff that was dying in the flat flange of the basket and then falling into the basket. I was banking stuff from everywhere. It was unbelievable. I was out of my own body. My roommates were telling me, calm down. What's wrong with you? I thought the object of the game was to put the ball in the basket. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm lighting it up right now. And people on the sidelines would say, stop that guy. And in my head, I was saying, you can't. You not tonight. You can't. See, that's our God. That's our God. That was not me shooting that ball. Now, the next place I'm going to try that is golf. Like when I'm putting. Hey, God, you putt the thing. Because I stink at it. Our strength doesn't come from our flesh. Our strength doesn't come from the world. Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. Do you think it's not going to happen for you, believers? You think you're going to be the one that he fails with? You're not. He's already gone ahead of you. He's already laid out the path. You just walk. Amen? With God, all things are possible. And this is important to remember in the face of tribulation. We remember it by thinking of the many places in God's word where we are reminded that there will be tribulation, yet there is a way of escape. Job 5:19, from 6 troubles the Lord will deliver you, even in 7 tribulations. Evil will not touch you. Isaiah 38:17, lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness, but it is you, Lord, who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness. For you have cast all my sins behind your back. This is a great thing to remember when you harbor bitterness toward anyone. As believers in Christ, what are we to do? We are to do what the Lord does and cast the sins of others behind our backs. Matthew 19:26. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this, and he was talking about the salvation of a rich man, with people, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You remember that story. The rich man came to Jesus and said, hey, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus said, yes, sell all your possessions, man. Just sell all your possessions and follow me. And, of course, the rich man said, later, dude. No, that's not me. And the apostles heard that, and they freaked. They said, well, if rich men can't be saved, what about us? Because they were all rich guys. What about us? He said, don't worry. He can't save himself, but I can save you. That's what he's saying here. We handle tribulation in the confidence of God's power, not our own. Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:31-32. What shall we say then face to face with all these things? If God is for us, and he is, who's successful against us? God the Father, who did not spare his own son, he sent his son to die for you, but delivered him over for us all. How will the Father not also, with our union with Christ, freely give us all things? Do you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to send his son to the cross to die for you, and then he's not going to take care of you in every single little matter that you have facing you? Seriously? Because I wouldn't send my son to the cross for any of you. I don't even like my sons. I wouldn't even send him to the cross for any of you. But the Lord loved, God the Father loved Jesus Christ and sent him to the cross on your behalf. And in the next lesson, we're going to learn how unbelievable that is that he did that. Romans 12:12, a series of exhortations from the Apostle Paul. Keep on rejoicing in hope. Keep on persevering in tribulation. Keep on being devoted to prayer. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And the Lord has said to me, Paul, in the past, my grace is sufficient for you, for divine power is perfected in human weakness. And then Paul has the revelation. Okay, so most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. How many times have you gone to the Lord in prayer and said, Lord, this is a lot of work. I just can't do it. Lord, this is overwhelming to me. I can't do it. Lord, take my burden. Not, here, I'll give you a little bit of it. Give him the whole thing. And then stand back and watch the deliverance of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you on this day. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. It was fitting for God the Father, for whom all are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, through sufferings. How did God the Father perfect his son? Through sufferings. See, that's the lesson my sons didn't learn. They didn't learn that the reason that they got to be mature men, and I'm not sure that they are that yet, but they got that way through sufferings because I put them through the ringer. That's how you get strong. You get strong by going through the ringer. You don't get strong by sitting on your butt. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. We too are perfected through sufferings. I, Paul, am confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a good work in you, will keep on perfecting it until the day of Christ Jesus. And how will he do that? By keep on giving you tribulation. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, that means once he has withstood the trial, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Once you've gone through the many death, you're going to have life. Once I put you through the fire of tribulation, you're going to turn out gold. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, divinely loved ones, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. This is Peter again. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Don't be surprised that you have to put in some effort, which comes upon you for your testing, for your benefit, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Don't be shocked that you have to put in effort to get what you want as if some strange thing was happening to you. It is not. Now that you know that peace and tribulation are both part of God's grace package towards you, never be tempted to connect tribulation to sins you've committed. A lot of times when we have tribulation, we say, oh, God's punishing me. God's testing me. I know God's doing this because I did something bad. No, he paid for your sins at the cross. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. You didn't do anything wrong. Here's what it is. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in union with Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Here's that said another way. I'm going to put you through trials over and over and over and over and over again. And when you finally figured out that nothing you plan is going to work out, that everything you plan is going to fail because you're doing it in your own strength, as soon as you figure that out, as soon as you throw up your hands and say, you know what, God, I screwed up. I can't do it. As soon as you give up, at that moment, he's going to step in and he'd say, okay, I am going to perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. As long as you understand that nothing that is going right with you is because of you. Because I want you to know it's because of me. And it's because of me and what I think of you. That's what he wants you to know. Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He who overcomes, and that's every believer in Christ, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. How you like that? One day you're going to walk into the throne room of heaven and get to sit on your dad's throne. How you like that? You like apples? How you like them apples? I like them apples. So enjoy your tribulation and the way it refines you, because you will only experience it here on earth, but never in eternity. Enjoy the way tribulation conforms you to the image of God's Son. So the promises of Jesus Christ, when God makes a promise, it's a guarantee. For by his glory and excellence, the Lord Jesus Christ has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Romans 8:32, God the Father, who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also, with our union with him, freely give us believers in Christ all things? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. Closing song, When You Suffer.
If the world comes to hate you, remember it hated me first. I came to seek and save the lost, not to condemn or hurt. If you are persecuted, do not consider it strange. Remember what I've done on the cross. My perspective you can gain when you suffer. Suffer for my name. Consider it an honor. Do not complain. Just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. When you stand in the truth of God, enemies you will gain. Learn not to take it personally, for at me they take an aim. So chalk it up as part of the price you pay for being mine. You can become an overcomer when you're power source is divine. When you suffer for my name, consider it an honor. Do not complain, just remember what I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Of these things when you suffer, when you suffer. Remember, as a lamb led to slaughter, I did not open my mouth. I was silent before my shearers. Let there be no doubt that I was separated from my Father for three dark hours on the cross. Do not forget the privilege of counting the cost. When you suffer, suffer for my name. I've done on the cross. You can pick up your cross too. Think of these things when you suffer, when you suffer. Just remember.
When she sings that song, it always sounds so painful. Do you notice that? It just comes from so, you know, down there, right? You've earned the right to sing that song, haven't you? Earned the right to write it, earned the right to sing it. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for the tribulation that you give us. And we especially thank you for the fact that there's nobody that knows us better than you, and so all of our tribulation is custom made. All of our tribulation is picked out specifically for us because you know what you're working out in us. He who began a good work in us will keep on perfecting it. So thank you for continuing to perfect us. I just pray that all those who are not hearing the accurately taught word of God will wake up to the fact that you're providing it all over the world in places like this, and that they will come flocking to the word of God, so that they can get the comfort in tribulation that they need, understanding that you're doing that so that you can show them through this mini death that there is life, just like through crucifixion of your Son, there was resurrection. And we pray you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.